There is no way I can finish it by tomorrow. He offered the fork and a sly little wink her way. Plus, it's the only one you haven't sampled from tonight's spread. It was true. Kennedy had tried every leftover pie, looking for something to fill her up, to calm that empty ache in her belly. Every pie, except for his. She'd come out on the porch with the leftovers to celebrate her good day. But now that the sun was gone and that awful call over, the adrenaline was beginning to wear off, and she started to wonder if she'd come out here for another reason entirely. Kennedy knew that Luke would have to come back for his truck at some point. Why else would she have brought out his pie and extra forks? Because she wanted to share the excitement of her day with someone. No, not someone. Luke. She was hoping that she'd get to see Luke, spend time with him, and lose herself in his strength. Luke was looking up at her like he had the answers to all of her problems, and for a slice of pie he was willing to share. A prospect that was so tempting she miraculously forgot why this was a bad idea. Forgot that he was her biggest problem. "Don't read too much into this," she repeated, taking a seat and snatching the fork. "You helped me out today and won a pie. I'm helping you out by eating the pie. End of story. This isn't me waving a white flag and thinking we have a truce or anything."
"Good to know,"
was all he said, then forked off a piece of crust, her favorite part, and offered it to her. She ignored it and forked off her own piece, right next to his. He gave a loud chuckle, then slid the fork in his mouth, purposefully moaning as he ate. A few bites in, and Kennedy felt her mind slow down, her limbs go heavy with overuse, her body trying to adapt to the rare sensation of stillness. Luke didn't push, didn't ask her about the day or the call he'd overheard, or even bring up her apples. He seemed to appreciate the quiet companionship tonight as much as she did. Kennedy had no idea how long they sat there, sharing the humdinger and silently watching the breeze brush past the trees, sending a mosaic of shadows dancing across the grass. It was comfortable, safe, as if the rest of the world had disappeared. Luke had a way about him, a quiet confidence that set people at ease, allowed them to hand over their problems and worry without hesitation. She'd seen it before around town with his family. Now that she was experiencing it firsthand, that same fierce capability directed at her, she wanted to let her worries go. But no matter how hard she tried, she couldn't seem to relax. Oh, her head cleared, and problems that seemed dire only minutes before lost their urgency. But the lighter her mind felt, the heavier her heart became. "How much did you hear?" she asked.
"Enough to know that if I were in a bar fight, I'd want you on my side."
He offered her another bite, and she waved it off. "And here I thought you'd come to steal my apples in the dark." He slid her a look.
"Sweetness, if I were going to get my hands on your apples, it would be a lights-on affair that involved silk sheets and multiple tastings."
A laugh burst from her lips, only it came out sounding more like a sob, which made her laugh harder until a thin line of water lined her lashes.
"What's wrong?"
She shook her head. "Nothing."
"I've spent my entire life dealing with my mom and aunt. Nothing is woman speak for a whole lot of something. Plus, you look like you're about to cry."
He sounded quite calm for a man who was staring down a woman on the verge. "A real gentleman wouldn't point that out," she said, covering her face with her hands, the movement smarting the cuts on her hands.
"A real man would, though."
Luke's fingers traced the band-aids littering her hands, then pulled them close to inspect them. His touch was tender and gentle, as if her pain were somehow his.
"Is this all from today?"
"It looks worse than it is," she said, telling herself that it was true, that her life did look worse than it was, that she was just tired and in desperate need of sleep, and that tomorrow everything would work out. But she knew that it wouldn't. If Philip was late on his payment, Kennedy would have to work something out with Paula, which required a conversation where she admitted she'd failed and needed more time. All the stress and worry felt heavy and real and completely isolating. Kennedy had worked so hard to make the right choices, pick a direction, and determine the way her life would work out, that she was once again waiting for someone who was supposed to be family to deliver on a promise that they'd never come through on. Luke took the Band-Aid off her most irritating scrape. "Stop," she said, and he immediately froze, his eyes going to hers.
"Did that hurt?"
"So much, but not in the way that he assumed." "No, seriously, it is just a few scrapes. Nothing that a few Band-Aids can't fix."
"You forget. I've worked around apples and the harvest my entire life. I know a scrape from a cut."
"Yeah, well, it's my body, so I say they are scrapes." She took her hand back and looked out at the stars overhead. "Plus, you being nice to me is weirding me out." With a small twitch of the lips, he asked,
"Me being nice to you is weird?"
"Kind of," she admitted, leaving out the part that she liked it. Too much. "One more gentlemanly gesture and I'll lose it."
"I think you're sexy when you lose it,"
he said, his voice a low rumble that had her knees wobbling. "Seriously? How lucky does that line get you?"
"I don't know. I've never used it before,"
he said, and looked genuinely surprised.
"But you're not tearing my head off or telling me what my problem is, so it must be working."
He nudged her shoulder with his.
"You want to talk about it?"
"About how well your line is working, or my jerk of an ex?"
"Both. Either. Whatever will make this not weird for you."
"There's nothing to talk about."
"Then why do I feel like I need to pull you into my arms?"
His expression went serious, and Kennedy found herself being drawn in by the intensity of his stare, found her walls lowering and her foundation shifting. "My ex is a flake who found a more exciting opportunity and went for it. I was slow on the uptake and paid the price."
"I can beat him up," he flexed.
"I'm sure you could," she said, touched by the conviction in his voice. "But looking back, I can see it never would have worked out."
"Why?"
Luke asked, and Kennedy got the distinct impression that her answer was important. "They wanted different things, I guess. The only way I could have made him truly happy was to give up who I was," she whispered. "And I'm tired of giving up things I love." She watched as Luke focused on the stars, taking in what she said. After a long moment, he asked,
"What makes you happy?"
"I don't know," she whispered. "But I know I want to build a life for myself, a place that I can call mine." She closed her eyes and let the tranquility of that dream wash over her. It wasn't happiness she felt, but there was the potential. "I was so hurt by Philip's betrayal, and am still so angry that he's flaking out on me. But I'm glad he showed me his true colors when he did." Luke shifted uncomfortably at her statement.
"Any guy who would intentionally ruin your good day sounds like an ass."
He slid her a glance. It was kind and gentle and a little self-deprecating. He was apologizing. "He does, doesn't he?" Kennedy gave his shoulder a little nudge this time. "Thanks for listening, but can we go back to normal? I'm thrown by you being all sweet and caring." Luke's good humor died, and his expression turned serious, withdrawn, as if her words somehow upset the easy camaraderie they'd formed. In fact, he looked disappointed, but Kennedy had the distinct idea it wasn't in her.
"Don't mistake my ambition for apathy, just like I would never mistake your tears for weakness. I care,"
he said, as if he needed her to believe him.
"So much, sometimes it taints every decision, complicates what should be easy solutions."
He took off his ball cap and met her gaze head on.
"I'm not a bad guy. Just someone who was trying to do the right thing.
Kennedy looked at him, and there was something about the pain she saw in his eyes, the conviction in his words that called out to her, drew her in, made her want to believe in good guys.
I have heard of these good guys, she admitted. I don't think I've ever met one personally.
He reached out and touched her cheek with so much care, she felt her knees wobble.
And you've been hanging around the wrong kind of guys.
He tilted his head toward her, leaned down, and I don't know if we should, residual weirdness and all, she said, embarrassingly doing nothing to stop their momentum.
Oh, we really should, he whispered. No weirdness, I promise.
Kennedy didn't put too much stock in promises, but she was too far into this to resist. Luke slid his hand down and around to her lower back to pull her close. Close enough that all she had to do was move her lips and they'd be kissing. Only Luke lived up to his promise. He didn't go in for a kiss or a quick grope, but gave her exactly what she needed. A hug. The kind of hug that had her heart sighing and her head spinning. It was as if Luke knew what she wanted even before she did, because the second his hand slid around, gently stroking her back, Kennedy realized she needed this more than her next breath. Clearly suffering from a lack of comfort, the kind one couldn't get from pie alone, Kennedy fell into his strong body, letting her head rest against his chest and telling herself she could be weak for just a moment. For just this moment, someone else could carry the weight, hold her world together while she sorted through the emotions she carefully avoided for fear of shattering. Those big, safe arms of his could right the world, cure acute heartache, and stop a big city girl from giving up on her dream with one squeeze. Of the last, she was certain. So she let go of the fear, the what-ifs, and all the self-doubt she'd collected, and listened to the steady beat of his heart. Matched her breathing to its rhythm and the softness of her body to his touch until she wasn't feeling anything. Except Luke. He was everywhere. His scent, his energy, his compassion, his goodness. It was there, in every breath he took, every touch he delivered, creating a whole new set of problems. Without the fear, there was plenty of room for other emotions. Lust being the most obvious, closely followed by desire. Warm, luscious, bone-melting desire. Every time Luke's big hands trailed down her back, they got lower and lower, bringing their bodies closer and closer, making it more than apparent that her nipples were over the pity part of the night and wanted to get on with the party. He smelled delicious, like the evening air, apple pie, and tomorrow. He felt even better, pressed up against her, his arms so big that when she tightened her grip around his neck and moved up slightly, they grazed the outsides of her breasts. Luke, she whispered, her eyes fluttering closed as he did it again. Just a small shift, but enough to have all of her happy spots smiling, especially when he tightened his grip at the right moment to cause even more delicious friction. A zing of awareness shot through her, and all she could think about was his mouth on hers. What would he taste like? If his kisses would be as life-altering as his hugs? And what it would be like to be on the receiving end of that fierce protectiveness he gave so readily to those in his life? More than anything, Kennedy wanted to see what it was like to work with all of that intense passion instead of against it. She nuzzled closer. She couldn't help it, and her mouth accidentally grazed the earlobe of his ear as she leaned. She heard his breath catch, felt his body tense with what she was pretty sure was desire for her. She knew the intelligent choice was to pull back, thank him for the hug, and scurry inside before they did something that couldn't be undone. Instead, she leaned forward until her lips brushed his ear again, because now that she knew he was feeling it too, she couldn't think of anything else. "We have a problem," she whispered. His hands pulled her closer.
"Yes, we do."
"I want to kiss you."
"But if you did, then you'd be admitting that you were wrong," he guessed, and she could hear him smile.
She lifted her head and met his gaze, and bam, she was lost. Luke wasn't smiling. There was nothing easygoing about him now. His gaze was hot, heated, and so damn intense, she could feel a pulse start below her belly button.
"I'm more concerned about you being right," she teased,
"which would lead to you being smug and eventually an argument, and I really don't want to argue right now." She was enjoying the sweet side of him too much.
"Sweetness,"
he said, but it wasn't in his usual alpha god tone that implied recreational sex with a guaranteed standing O. This time, it felt like an endearment.
"The last thing I want to do right now is argue with you."
Man of his word, Luke cupped her by the neck and took any possibility of an argument right out of play when he kissed her. There on her front porch, surrounded by pie and the faint scent of a new beginning, he kissed her as if this was why he'd come here. Kennedy felt that hopeful beginning bloom into something that had room to grow. Something warm and real, no matter how long it lasted. Because the minute she registered the sensation of his lips on hers, she knew this wasn't a let's get to the naked part, prelude to sex kind of kiss. It was soft, patient, and controlled, as if it was the main event and he had all night to prove it. And himself. Lord help her. When a man like Luke set out to prove himself, women like Kennedy had no choice but to fall. Right into his arms and into that kiss, which was better than amazing. It was epic. Magical. The main course, dessert, and a dozen apple pies, all wrapped up in one fantastic man. His mouth was confident, his hands gentle on her hips, turning her toward him so he could up his game, sliding his tongue along her lower lip. He held her in a way that was completely unexpected, tender, and slightly erotic, and she was pretty sure he could bring the a la mode without even laying a finger on her. But chemistry was only half of the appeal. The rest came from how she felt when she was with him. Bold, strong, and desirable. Like he was taking the time to show her that she was deserving. And if that wasn't enough to convince her that maybe, just maybe, good ones did exist and he was one of them, Luke brought her hands to his mouth, delivering a kiss to each scrape, giving extra attention to the cut on her palm. His eyes met hers.
"That's going to be a problem."
"Thankfully, I'm a master fixer." Luke placed her hand on his chest and held it there.
"Remember when I said not to mistake my ambition for apathy? Well, promise me that you won't mistake a good moment for a good guy."
"Because they don't exist?" she whispered, wanting desperately to believe that they did.
"Oh, they exist," he said. "And I'm one of them. But when it comes to you, I don't think I can be good enough."
Chapter 11. She was late. With less than 2 hours before the shop opened, Kennedy parked her car in front of Sweetie Pie's, grabbed three of the bags of apples she'd loaded yesterday from her back seat, and hurried toward the shop. Main Street was already a hive of activity. Early morning shoppers braving frosted sidewalks to get a jump on their end-of-week shopping. Kennedy needed to get a jump on her baking if she was going to have anything to sell to her morning customers. After sharing a few good mornings with the other shopkeepers, she clutched her coat tightly to her and made her way toward her shop, her breath catching when she caught a glimpse of the sign hanging from the two marble columns on either side of the clock tower. Washington State's 68th annual Gold Tin Apple Pie Competition, where harvest and home come together. Entries due Friday. Kennedy had wanted to enter that contest since she'd first read about it in Southern Cooking when she was 15. Now she lived in the hometown of the competition and owned the shop of one of the competition's biggest winners, Sweetie Pie's Humdinger, which was automatically entered to defend her title. A rush of pride washed over her as she unlocked the door, flipped on the lights, and headed straight to the coffee maker. First order of business, caffeine. Tall, hot, and strong. After Luke left, Kennedy had told herself that what happened was nothing more than two adults sharing some pie, casual conversation, and a kiss that was absolutely not a game changer. Then she'd gone straight to bed, pulled out her journal, and made a list of ways to test the theory, just to be sure. By midnight, she had 36 different and creative ways, starting with a private taste test of her newest creation, off her lips, and ending with a candlelit dinner for two at her kitchen table, which ultimately inspired another list. Why list one is a bad idea. 1. Non-big deal issues don't deserve an itemized list, especially one that includes candles and my grandmother's paprikash. 2. Making it a list makes it a big deal. 3. Refer back to number 1. When she woke up, face pressed to the pages of her journal, she compared the two and decided that since list 2 was so small in comparison and lacking in the fun department, she'd spend her morning expanding on list 1. Setting the apples on the counter, she mentally added a liquor-infused whipped cream to her tasting and reached for the coffee grinder. Surprised to find that the machine was already percolating and the first pot of coffee was nearly ready. Kennedy swallowed past the unexpected lump as a warm rush of gratitude filled her chest. Yesterday, Paula had offered to prep the non-heirloom apples and some of the easier items to bake so Kennedy could finish up her harvest. That she had also come in early this morning to start the coffee was another example of Paula's thoughtfulness, and another reason Kennedy needed this to work. Paula and Fee had entrusted Kennedy with their legacy, and she wanted to do them proud. She wanted to do herself proud as well. And even though Kennedy was scratched to bits and sore in places she didn't even know had muscles, she was vibrating with all the possibilities this adventure could offer. Destiny Bay looked out for their own, and yesterday they'd made it clear that Kennedy was included in that group. She didn't think that she'd be invited to the mayor's house anytime soon, but she couldn't walk through town without a half dozen people stopping to wish her a good day or ask her about the pie du jour. Slowly but surely, she was making fans of the locals, and today's specialty was guaranteed to blow their taste buds away. Comfort pie. The toasted graham cracker crust, creamy sweet potato and dark chocolate filling, and marshmallow vodka-infused topping created the perfect treat for a chilly autumn morning, and it was the perfect way to give the town a little of what they'd given her yesterday. Not having a second to waste, she filled her mug and picked up the heaviest bag so she could peel the apples she needed to get the first batch of humdingers in the oven. Halfway there, her cell vibrated in her back pocket. It was Allie. Juggling her bag and coffee mug, she managed to fish it out. "You're up early." "And you're not here," Allie said, and Kennedy could hear the idling of an engine in the background. "Figured you'd either fallen out of a tree last night, or you were stuck under a bushel of apples somewhere unconscious." Kennedy laughed. "No, I just overslept. You're at my house?" "Yeah, I called you a few times, and when I didn't see the shop lights on, I came here." Kennedy looked at her phone, which she must have flipped to silent. "Sorry about that, but I got to the shop a few minutes ago." She heard Allie release a breath. "Good, because Cosmo called, and he is coming today." "Today?" Kennedy looked around at the empty pie racks, even emptier display case, and felt the first signs of panic set in. "I thought he was in Portland until Sunday." "He decided that he didn't want to wait.
He was afraid that Fee would catch wind of it and try to stop the deal.
Not needing the caffeine, which would be overkill with the amount of adrenaline pumping through her veins, Kennedy ditched the mug for another bag of apples. Her time crunch had just been crunched.
Yeah, well, I understand that he and Fee have a history, but this deal is about new beginnings, a chance at a fresh start. So by definition, no history allowed.
And that included Philip.
Good to hear, Allie said. So then you didn't sell the apples to Callahan?
No, she said, trying to ignore the pinch in her chest. They both needed those apples. But what if, in order to save her business, she hurt his?
Kennedy pushed back her ingrained need to please. She didn't have the luxury of what-ifs. She couldn't give in. Even a kiss that had enough lasting tingles to power a small country wasn't going to distract her from her goal. There was a long beat.
And you didn't happen to hire someone else to deliver your apples, did you?
No. Kennedy closed her eyes, then offered.
Do you need me to?
I know you're super busy, and if you can't do it, I understand.
It would suck, because Kennedy had no idea where she'd find someone else willing to haul 15 bushels of apples in exchange for a girl's night. But Allie's offer had been beyond generous to begin with, and as Kennedy well knew, life happened.
I'm still game, Allie said, and Kennedy felt herself relax.
A hot dinner that doesn't come out of a box or the microwave while I'm watching The Bachelor? I am so there. But unless you hung your apples back up in the trees, they're gone.
Gone? How could they be gone?
Were they here when you left? Allie asked.
Yes? No? I don't know, she admitted. She'd been in a rush when she left. She didn't take the time to check. But I think I would have noticed if they were gone, or at least heard whoever took them. Except that Kennedy hadn't gotten all that much sleep. But during the few hours she did manage, she'd been dead to the world, or dreaming about her thief with the mouth of a god. Kennedy froze. Thought back to last night. Luke appearing out of the shadows, his uncharacteristic compassion, and that sweet side that threw her off balance.
Is there orange dye all over the grass? She asked. Do pails with orange water lining the porch rail count?
Good guy, my ass.
Anger, red and hot, had her feet moving toward the kitchen.
What time is Cosmo coming?
Around 3. Enough time to get her first few batches in, find Luke, and show him just what a pain in his ass big city heels could be. He played a good game, all right, but she was better. Compared to her turbulent childhood, this would be as easy as pie.
Thanks, Allie, she said. I'll call you back when I find out where they are.
Setting her apples on the cutting board, Kennedy grabbed her apron off the hanger and her sharpest knife out of the cutting block. It wasn't just anger that had her heart pounding. It was confusion and disappointment. Sure, they'd both made it clear that last night wasn't a truce, but Kennedy had really thought that they'd shared a real connection, one that trumped petty pranks, one that held the potential for a positive relationship of some kind, a relationship that, once again, Kennedy had read far too much into. Wondering if she'd ever learn her lesson, she washed up at the sink and turned to dry her hands when she froze once again. This time, it wasn't panic or anger, but something that went much deeper and warmer. Lining the back wall of the produce refrigerator were 15 bushels full of apples, enough to fill her shop with pies for her big day and last her for the next 2 weeks. And on the shelf above them, sitting in the middle, was a single apple and a note. With shaky hands, she opened the door and picked up the apple. Unfolding the flap, her breath caught.
The apples are for your pies. The peeler is to make you smile. L.
Kennedy choked out a laugh, because next to the apple was a peeler made from a drill, a special bit, and an industrial hand peeler. The drill was electric and bright pink, and the bit was sharp enough to easily slide through the core and spin fast enough to skin an apple in a few seconds. It would cut her prep time in half and save her fingers from further damage. But what had her exposing her soft underbelly was the craftsmanship. This wasn't some store-bought device. It was custom-made and handcrafted, just for her. Which meant that sometime between leaving her house and this morning, Luke had found the time to make it. For her. And sometime between last night and this morning, Kennedy had started to believe that maybe good guys really did exist. A warm blast of nutmeg and toasted graham cracker greeted Kennedy as she opened the oven door. She shifted the latest batch of comforter pies around the shelf to make sure they browned evenly.
"Tell me again why you're putting lemon zest in my apple cobbler recipe?"
Fee asked from the carry-through window. "Because a pinch of citrus will elevate the food profile," Kennedy said, even though she had been repeating the same explanation since Fee arrived a few hours ago. It hadn't touched her good mood, though. Kennedy was pretty sure nothing could.
"We don't need any more elevation," Fee explained. "I like my pies at sea level."
"I think the lemon is nice. It adds a fresh surprise to the pie," Paula said, elbow deep in dough. "A little something special for an extra special day, maybe?" Fee took in Kennedy's smile and fancy heels, which she kept in her car for emergencies like this, and frowned.
"What makes today so special?"
Kennedy suddenly gave all her attention to cutting the chilled butter in the crust she was making. Paula had shown up ready to help bake, Fee to run the front of the shop, and raise Cain, just until Kennedy had caught up with the baking. Then Paula would go home and rest. Fee would meet her speed-walking group for senior smoothie day down at the juice barn, and they'd both be long gone before Kennedy's secret meeting with Cosmo. It wasn't that Kennedy wasn't going to share her good news. She just wanted to make sure that there was good news to share, and that Fee didn't bring stale emotions into Kennedy's fresh start. That was the plan, anyway. Only Paula was grinning as if she were in on the plan. Fee was frowning like she smelled a rotten apple in the shop, and Kennedy started sweating.
"Shouldn't you be out front helping customers?" Kennedy asked Fee.
"Nah, it's just Lacey from the market, asking for a comfort pie. I told her I don't serve those here."
Kennedy looked up. "Yes, we do. There is an entire display case filled with them right there, remember?" Fee looked at the pie of the day display.
"Of course I remember. I'm old, not senile. And I said, I don't serve them here. If you want to sell one of those vegetable pies, then wash up. She's been waiting for a few minutes now."
"You finish up here, I'll help Lacey." Paula wiped her hands off on an apron and leaned into Kennedy. "And apologize for the temperamental help."
"Haven't lost my hearing either," Fee interrupted.
a weathered voice said from the front of the shop.
"You,"
Fee snapped.
"Cosmo,"
Paula said with genuine welcome as she walked out of the kitchen to give the older man a hug.
"It's been ages."
Cosmo was short, round, and dressed in a light gray suit with matching powder blue suspenders and bow tie. He wore a coordinating fedora, a contagious smile, and had a cigar in his breast pocket. He looked like Al Capone on Easter Sunday. He was also early, very early.
"Last time I came here, I was nearly run down in the parking lot."
Fee picked up a wooden spoon and rounded the counter, waving it high for everyone to see.
"I'll give you 2 minutes to hobble out of here, Mo, before I get my keys and finish the job."
"Well, I'd love to pick up where we left off, Fiona. I'm here on business."
But as he said it, he pulled a bouquet of flowers out from behind his back and offered them to Fee. Her face flushed as she inspected the offering, a cluster of bright daisies held together by rustic twine, They were too perfect to have been purchased. Cosmo had hand-picked and selected each stem in a gesture that was so romantic, Kennedy felt her practical side sigh with defeat.
Well, take your business elsewhere,
Fee said, taking the flowers and bringing them to her nose.
I want you gone.
Well, I would love to be the man who delivers on everything you want. It pains me to say today I cannot be that man.
Cosmo took off his hat and pressed it over his heart.
After 40 years, I am finally about to get a second chance at your pies, and, beautiful, 40 years is a long time to wait.
The room went quiet at his statement, and the soft steel he put behind it. Mr. Klein wasn't just in love with the humdinger. He was in love with its creator. Kennedy watched as his words settled over Fee, watched her eyes soften and her body sway slightly toward Cosmo as she smelled the flowers once again. With a slow shake of the head, she said,
You'll have to wait, Mo, because even after 40 years, you still wouldn't know what to do with my pies.
Thankfully, I am here to see Miss Sinclair. Maybe she'll know that I know exactly what your pies need.
Fee didn't yell, didn't even wave the spoon. She turned toward Kennedy, and the expression on her face was devastating.
You made a meeting with him? Here in my shop?
Although there was anger, it was the hints of betrayal that made swallowing hard. Kennedy hadn't set out to hurt anyone, especially one of the women who had entrusted her with sweetie pies. But there would be nothing to argue about if she didn't do something bold. I did. Kennedy picked up the tray with the pies she'd set aside for this meeting and placed them at one of the tables. Then she turned to Fee and softened her voice. You told me to get creative. I got creative. Fee blanched.
First vegetable pies. Then you ask me to help bake pies so you can sell them to the enemy?
I don't know what happened in the past, Kennedy said, not seeing how the older woman could miss the big picture. Unless Sweetie Pie started getting their supplies for free again, it was going to go under. Taking Kennedy's life savings and, unless they found another buyer, the women's life's work with it. But it is clear that Mr. Klein is interested in being a partner. A partner who could help this shop get to the next level.
That's just it, Fee said sadly. This shop doesn't need to be anything more than it is.
I bought this shop because it had roots, Kennedy said. A history that you and Paula made together, and I want to be a part of that. Add my own pages and recipes. Make something that I can look at someday and see myself in, too. But I would never forget your part of the story. It was why she'd been open to having the women stay on to help out a few days a week. Why she'd asked over and over again if she was getting their recipe right. Why she never even considered taking down all of the black and white photos of the two women that were plastered around the shop. They were family, and this shop was part of their home. Kennedy just wanted a shot at creating the same kind of legacy.
The girl isn't switching out flour for gluten-free crust, Fee,
Paula said, taking her sister-in-law's hand. She's just putting icing on what we baked up, bringing a fresh surprise to every pie. We both agreed she was the perfect buyer, so give her a chance to show us what she's got.
Well, icing has always given me gas, and she hasn't seen what I've got.
Fee grabbed her coat and purse and walked straight past Paula, then Cosmo, and out the door. The bells jingled as the door shut.
You think she liked the flowers?
Cosmo asked, his eyes never leaving the door. Paula took his hands in hers. She loved them. Cosmo gave a slight nod, then faced Kennedy. He was smiling, but there was tension bracketing his mouth.
Are you sure this is what you want?
To make Fee upset? Kennedy shook her head. But I know what this shop needs to grow. And I know that this partnership is full of exciting possibilities. Then, not to sound too eager, for both of us, which is why I have prepared a tasting. I know that you are familiar with the Humdinger, but I wanted to take you on a journey of our four best sellers, all of them award-winning pies made from locally grown ingredients, and let you see everything Sweetie Pies has to offer. Cosmo lowered his head.
I have been paying Allie to sneak me pies every Sunday for the past 40 years, Miss Sinclair. And I would love to sit in this shop and savor each and every item you have, but I'm not sure when Fiona will be coming back, so I think it is best if I took those pies to go.
More than anything, she wanted her chance to sell him on her creations, the traditional and the new items. But she had to agree. Fee had been more than upset, and Kennedy didn't want to make matters worse. She knew what it felt like to be uncomfortable in one's own home. Of course. Let me box these up. Kennedy took the pies behind the counter and carefully boxed each one, even adding a comfort pie to the mix. After today, he'd need one. She could hear Cosmo and Paula quietly conversing. She couldn't make out the words, but the heartache and frustration were deafening, as if he really wanted today to have gone differently. Kennedy wished for that too. Sure, Cosmo was more than interested in doing a deal, and she was pretty sure that once he tasted the pies, he'd make an offer. But this wasn't how she'd envisioned things going down. This wasn't how she wanted to repay Fee and Paula for their trust and kindness. But she knew in the end, it would all work out. It had to, she told herself, ignoring the little voice inside her heart that kept whispering, how? Because saving her shop was imperative, but doing it without changing her relationship with Luke seemed impossible. Telling herself that this was a good deal, she tied a bright red bow on the last box and brought them over to Cosmo. The chatter between the two died. Enjoy, Kennedy said. If I don't hear from you by Monday, I will give you a call. And maybe next time we can meet in a more neutral place. Cosmo looked at Paula, and they shared a secret smile.
I have already seen enough.
He took a piece of paper out of his pocket and handed it to Kennedy.
What's this?
A lovely offer, Paula said. Cosmo had his team write it up last night. A warm bubble of hopefulness and pride overcame her. Cosmo was so excited about this deal, he decided to make an offer before even arriving and still go forward with it after Fee's threats. Kennedy knew that for Cosmo, it was about much more than Fee's pies. She unfolded the memo, glanced at the highlights, and gasped. It says here you want 200 pies a day.
150 humdingers and 50 of your choosing.
200 pies, she said, mentally doing the math in her head, her stomach spinning at the volume. She'd need to hire on another baker full time. 200 pies, in addition to her current customers, were going to double her workload. At the price he was willing to pay, it would also double her profits and offer a solution to her delicate problem, while creating new ones. At that level of production, she wouldn't have any apples left over to sell to anyone. Not that Luke was interested in part of her apples. He made it clear he was an all-or-nothing kind of guy. How would he react when he discovered that he wasn't getting any? Especially after last night. Not a big deal, she reminded herself. He wouldn't walk away from his distillery for her shop, so why did she feel slightly confused over news that should have her celebrating? I'd like the weekend to look over the contract, if that's okay. She'd signed in haste once, and no matter how perfect this deal seemed, she'd learned her lesson. She was going to understand this contract inside and out before she signed. She also wanted to talk to Paula. In the end, this was Kennedy's business, but she valued the woman's opinion.
Take your time.
Cosmo took the pies from Kennedy.
But not too much time. I don't want to miss the season.
Kennedy couldn't afford to miss it either. I'll let you know by Monday. Cosmo put his hat on his head.
Make sure you think this through, because it takes a strong woman to stand up to Fee. And although I am excited about this deal, I don't want to cause any more upset.
With a slight bow, Cosmo made his way toward the door. I truly didn't mean to upset Fee, Kennedy said when the door closed, or go behind your back. I just needed to know if I secured or lost the deal, that it was all me. No history, no outside influences. Me and my idea. Paula grabbed a comfort pie and set it in the middle of the table, then sat down.
Oh, I know that, dear.
And Fee will, too,
once she gets over not being in the loop.
She always was sensitive about being left out.
It comes with being the only girl working in her family's orchard.
Kennedy grabbed two forks and sat beside her. And I would never want her to think that I wasn't taking her feelings into account. You both helped me out so much. I appreciate what you have done for me and how welcoming you've been.
Paula laughed. We both know that I am the more welcoming of the two. The best baker as well, so
trust me when I say your recipes are inspired.
Fee doesn't agree. Kennedy looked at the pie of the day rack and opened the contract. And maybe she's right. My vegetable pies aren't selling as well, and if I don't make this deal with Cosmo, there is a very real chance I would have to forfeit. She was already nervous about making her monthly payments if Philip flaked, which was a very real possibility.
You've got to give it time. People will come around.
As for the deal with Cosmo,
it is a smart one. And you are a smart woman, Paula said, with infinite confidence, and Kennedy found herself blushing.
Once Fee gets over the shock and being stubborn, she'll see reason.
Paula took a bite of pie and gave Kennedy the baker-to-baker seal of approval, which consisted of licking the fork and groaning. Kennedy felt as giddy as a schoolgirl getting a gold star on her weekly test.
Let's just hope that she doesn't take as long to come around as Luke with his veggies, Paula said, and Kennedy laughed. I guess stubbornness runs in the family.
This is Destiny Bay, Paula said, handing Kennedy a fork.
It runs in the water.
Chapter 12. Luke sat in his office at the back of the barn and went over the bullet points in the proposal he'd drawn up for his meeting with Jason Stark. He'd already gone over his presentation, had cemented the points he wanted to highlight in his memory. The numbers came out on the high side for his taste, but it was an attractive enough offer to get the family to agree to a conversation. And that's what this meeting tomorrow was about, getting Jason on board so he could run it past his siblings. Normally, this was the point in a project when Luke would go over the offered terms again, try to streamline what he could to give both parties what they wanted. Only he was too busy staring out the window, checking to see what his sexy neighbor was doing, to focus on work. It was all kinds of ridiculous. It wasn't like he could really see her all that well. The cottage was too far off in the distance to make out much, but he knew she was home. Had watched her little car pull down the road about an hour ago and seen her flick on the kitchen light. It was the exact moment his mind gave up on work and started thinking about her mouth. She had a great mouth. Full and sexy and always throwing off some serious attitude. He liked attitude in a woman, especially this woman. There was something about her that got to him. She hadn't called to say if she saw the note. Not that he was expecting her to call, but it would have been nice to know how she was feeling. Between harvesting apples and catching up with her ex, Luke was surprised she'd managed to get out of bed, let alone make it to the bakery and put in a full day. She was tough. Another thing he liked about her. The sound of crunching leaves outside caught his attention. It was late, and the crew was long gone. But when he went to the window, he saw a beam of light flicker in the orchard, moving through the trees and toward the barn. Clicking off his office lights, Luke gave up the pretense of working, because the soft glow of the moon outlined a figure with a flashlight and red shoes. It was a female with a sweet body, silky blonde hair, and a world-class ass that had kept him up all night. Only, Kennedy didn't come inside the barn, didn't even come near the barn to either thank him or bust his nuts for touching her apples without her permission. With her, it could go either way. Instead, the most unpredictable woman he'd ever met pressed her face to the truck window and peered in. She looked good and long before rounding the back of the pickup and dropping a paper bag into the truck bed. Then she followed. It took her a few tries to get up there, since the cute khaki shirt she wore wouldn't allow for much range of motion, and his truck had mud tires. But miracle of miracles, she managed to crawl in without falling. Then she glanced around looking for who the hell knew. But once she was satisfied they weren't around, she bent over, and her skirt slid high enough to give him an inspiring view of her legs, and look at that. The hem was about 1 inch from giving him the best view he'd had in weeks. He was so busy staring that he almost missed the screwdriver in her hand. Shop girl was looking to attempt a little Grand Theft Auto with his truck. 5 minutes in, Luke determined that this was her first to tangle with the law. She hadn't managed to do much more than scratch the paint around the back window and put her hair in a ponytail. Luke considered going outside to lend a hand. She was working way too hard on breaking in. He had no idea why she was breaking in, but it was clear that, given enough time, she would, even if it meant breaking out the back window. He fished his phone out of his pocket, dialed her number, and watched her jerk up and bang her head on the top rack of his truck. Shoot! Her voice traveled through the window. Rubbing the offending mark, her head tipped down toward the glowing screen of her cell, then immediately popped back up, darting around like a chicken caught in the sight of a predator. Her eyes locked on the barn window, and even though he knew that she couldn't see him in the darkened room, he still felt the need to move. But then she looked at the screen again, and he smiled. She'd programmed his number in. Women only programmed in men's numbers who they hoped would call. She was hoping he'd call all right. She did the smoothing of her hair down and the straightening of her shoulders, typical chick language for, "I'm into you." So Luke crossed his arms and, with a smile that was too big and stupid, waited for her voice to come through the phone. Well, shit. She sent him to voicemail. The least she could do, since she was breaking into his truck, was answer. So he hung up and dialed her back, because he, too, had programmed her into his phone. This time, she answered. "Hello, this is Kennedy Sinclair," she said. So professional, he was surprised she didn't add, "I can't come to the phone right now, so please leave a message after the beep." Then give off some humanized impression of a beep. Probably knew he'd call right back. "Hey, sweetness." "Oh, hey, Luke," she said, as if she didn't know who had been calling. "I was just about to call you to say thanks for the early delivery." He chuckled. "And here I thought you were going to hang up on me again." There was a long stretch of silence, where she glanced around, looked into the truck again, then back to the darkened window. "Sorry about that. I was busy and accidentally hit the wrong button." She was a terrible liar. "But seriously, thanks." This time her tone was warm, soft, genuine, and man, that lit him up inside. "Showing up to have all of my apples in the shop today was, well, you gave me a little more faith that good guys really might exist, and made what could have been a really stressful day pretty amazing, so thanks." Luke couldn't help smiling, even though Hawk was going to rip him a new one over this. Luke knew that Kennedy had to be sore and achy, just like he knew she was determined as hell to get her apples to the shop. He told himself he did it because a few bushels of apples weren't going to solve her problems or inflate his. The truth was, Luke did it because he didn't want to be another disappointment. Not to her. Her business was going to fail. He just didn't want to be the reason it did. Plus, if the Starks agreed to his proposal, he wouldn't need her apples. Knowing that he'd brought a smile to that pretty face made it all worth it. Glad I could help. And I am happy you found the apples. For a moment there, I wondered if you'd overlooked them somehow. Which would explain why she was trying to steal his truck. Why would you think I overlooked them? He chuckled. No reason. And then, because he wanted to feel like he was that good guy, he added, Oh, and Kennedy? Try the handle. It's unlocked. She froze. Her baby blues so big with surprise, he could see the moon reflecting off them. I have no idea what you're talking about. The driver's door? To my truck. It's unlocked. And if you were planning on taking it for a spin, the keys are on the floorboard. Night now. By the time he ended the call, his prowler had abandoned her job and was hustling that sweet ass through the orchard and back to the cottage. Luke gave it 2 minutes to make sure she wasn't coming back for her supplies before he headed down. He checked the back window. Thankfully, not a scratch. Then he checked the paper bag she'd left behind. Inside was a box with a single slice of pie, a tractor-shaped cookie that was topped with green and yellow icing, and a note. The pie is for helping me out. The cookie is to make you smile. K. P.S. In case you like what you taste. And taped right below the P.S. was one of those decorative keys that Allie sold at her home and garden store. It was green with bright red apples on it. And Luke was pretty sure it went to the front door of the cottage. Normally, when a woman gave Luke a key to her place, he didn't expect to be greeted with a rolling pin and apron, unless that apron was accompanied by doomy pumps and nothing else. This apron, however, was his size, and the only doomy offer on the table was, "Do me a favor and hand me the flour." Not that he could see the table anymore, since it was covered with a dozen different kinds of mini pies, all cooling and all waiting for his approval. He'd tasted three so far. Apple and blackberry, apple and pear, and apple and mango. The first two were fantastic. The mango was a little too out of the box to like. So Kennedy had cut it off the list. Her feelings hadn't been wounded. There had not been a single tear. Just a shrug and a big X through the idea. For someone who made his life difficult, being around her was surprisingly easy. And fun. I have to come up with a catchy name that lets people know the apples are the star. Eyes twinkling with excitement, she set another mystery pie on the counter. Ready for the next one? Luke would do just about anything to keep that smile of hers going, because damn, she was beautiful. But he hesitated. Bad move, he knew, but he couldn't help it. Kennedy was clearly eager for him to taste this one, too eager for his comfort. He'd seen her going into stealth mode on the last pie, making a big deal to block his view so he couldn't see what she was making. Not that he'd minded. Her version of blocking his view was to shield the mixing bowl with her body. And since she was still in that cute khaki skirt and a fuzzy blue sweater that matched her eyes, Luke supported her right to surprise him. Until he saw her cutting green leaves off this freaky red plant which had roots. Roots indicated it was a vegetable, and no way in hell was he eating a vegetable for dessert, even if her sweater was slipping off her right shoulder, exposing a black silky strap. I like the other ones better. I say cut it. Cut it? Her pretty eye went wide with mock surprise. You haven't even tried it. Don't need to. I already know I won't like it. And to be clear that the freaky roots would not pass his lips, he pushed the fork back. But you don't even know what it is, she said, pitching her voice so it sounded like pure sex. Then tell me, He leaned back, flashing a little sexy her way.
What's in it?
That's against the rules, she reminded him, patting barefoot around the counter until she was standing right next to him, her scent wrapping around him and engulfing him. Slowly, he spun his chair to the side until they were facing each other, and she was standing between his parted thighs.
You have too many rules.
I need an unbiased opinion, and you knowing what's in the pies can skew the results. When he looked ready to argue, she said, I told you what was in the mango one, and you wrinkled your nose and said it was weird.
Mangoes and apples are weird.
Well, this one is amazing. She picked up the fork and offered it to him by moving it back and forth in a hypnotic gesture. I promise you'll love it. It's a crowd favorite. He ignored the fork, instead taking in what she was saying to figure out what he was missing.
You've made this before?
A small smile crossed her lips and she scooted closer. I made it for a state fair when I was 12. It was the first award I ever won for baking. He looked at the pie on the plate, the golden crust, the crystallized sugar on top. Weird alien vegetable aside, it looked like a pie out of a baking magazine.
Did it look like this when you were 12?
She nodded,